Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com. It is Sam and Greg. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Moving into the 8 o'clock hour, we got one more before we turn things over to John Freaky, getting ready for a full day of football action here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We know the Falcons play tomorrow night, so we have got three games for you here in case you can't get in front of a TV. But one of the most flexible people that we have on the show, Sam, is Terrell.
Absolutely.
Because Terrell, I mean, we need him here, we need him there. He just bends. And now he's also made his daughter available for us, and they both bend.
Yeah.
So before we get to him, we say to you, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning and happy holidays to everybody out in Hampton.
Out in Hampton.
And shout out to our boy, Brandon Hutchison, and everybody out there.
Everybody at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Everybody out at AMS.
Yes. The beautiful Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We'll be seeing you guys before you know it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
They got things going on throughout the course of the week out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one where they got like a gift shop open? You go out there and maybe wander through?
I don't know if you can wander through. You probably can order some things out there. I don't know. For the holidays?
Yeah, like, man, they got to have some line, stuff.
They may do that, because there's always something happening out there.
Hit us up, Brandon. Let us know if we can go do some Christmas shopping at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
That'd be a deal.
Yeah, it would. Get yourself some jackets out there. Anyway, that's not why you called. Bring on this. I'm curious of what his thoughts are on what is going on in Las Vegas, what has happened this past week with the Hawks. Good morning, Terrell, and how are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm doing wonderful this morning. How's everything in y'all world?
Doing great now that we hear you.
Yeah. What did you think about this Hawks team this last week or so? Going back to, first it was Lakers. We were talking about that last week, and then it had from Denver to Las Vegas, the ebb and flow of this team.
With the stop in New York on the way.
Yeah.
You know, I must say I was thoroughly impressed with the Hawks team, and I hope that they find a way to take some positivity from this last week, 7-1 and 8 games. You know, as you just mentioned, a hiccup against the Nuggets where the Joker was just phenomenal, but I have been very, very impressed. I was a little sad with the outcome yesterday as far as the NBA Cup game is concerned, because I feel like Trae Young played one of his best games as a member of the Atlanta Hawks, both offensively and defensively. And the guys just weren't able to get over the hump. Now, I'll give credit to the Milwaukee Bucks. They are a great team. But it does go to show that our guys can go toe-to-toe with the best of the best in the NBA. And they've done that over the past few weeks. When you think about what they did to the Knicks, that was one of those humbling experiences, I think, for Knicks fans. Knicks fans have been doing a lot of bragging and boasting since the acquisition of Karl-Anthony Towns. And don't get me wrong, he's looked very nice in the Knicks uniform so far. he's performed really well. But Trae Young did what he does best, go to Madison Square Garden and put on a show. And I loved, absolutely loved him rolling the dice on the Knicks logo when the game was over. And the Hawks did have the opportunity to advance to the NBA Cup. But I think it was a great learning experience. I think some of the guys, would have, you know, are still having a younger team. It kind of goes back to their NCAA game, NCAA days with March Madness, you know, the one and done single elimination games. I don't want to say the refs gave the game away yesterday, but I feel like our Hawks had every opportunity to win the game and they just weren't able to get over the hump. But I tip my cap to them and I look forward to seeing where they go in the next week or so.
Yeah, folks, that is Terrell Thomas spending time with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And he is social. You can always find him at Eldorado2452. At Eldorado2452. Chris Middleton showed up, you know, and when he gets off the bus against the Hawks, I'm like, uh-oh. You know, because when the Hawks beat them early in the season, he did not play in that game. And he just showed up. He didn't have a big, you know, point production night, but he's just one of those guys, you know, that's out there for them. And he's a difference maker with that team. Terrell, if he's healthy, they are a contender in the East.
Yeah, I do believe in the East. And he's been a gentleman over there. I enjoy watching his game. I know that he was out for a while to begin. So as you just mentioned, he wasn't a huge factor. But just him being out on the court and giving Giannis and Dame Lillard another option or another threat, or giving your coach and your defense, the opposing defense, you know, another guy that you have to keep your eye on, is something. And I think the more and more he begins to get his feet under him as the season goes on, that could be a good sign for the Bucks. But as you mentioned, he hasn't really been as impactful as we've seen him over the last few years yet. But he is certainly someone to watch out for.
I cannot remember the last time I saw Doc Rivers in a post-game press conference smile and kind of giggle and laugh.
Yeah.
Like he did after that one. Yeah. And not because he beat the Hawks. It was just – that's just been his – he got to Milwaukee. And it was interesting to see. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you think about what's going on out there in Vegas in total?
I like year two. I really do like year two. I was surprised the teams that made it out there. I was surprised Houston made it out there. I wasn't too surprised with our Hawks, but I do know they were an underdog. Milwaukee hasn't yet throughout the entire NBA Cup, and I've been impressed all season long with a team you've been talking about in the OKC Thunder. So I've enjoyed it so far. I think both games were very competitive. Two defensive games, if we really look at it, because for a long time, when we were heading into the fourth quarter, we're still, you know, the game was still in the 80s for the Hawks and the Bucks, and it was the same way last night for the Rockets and the Thunder. And we also see those are really, I don't want to call the Bucks a young team, but they're a mature younger team. But when you look at the Hawks, when you look at the Rockets, when you look at the Thunder, certainly those are some of the younger teams in the NBA. So to see them out there, for folks who don't always watch the game, who are, you know, not the casual fans who might not have league pass or catch the games on TNT and ESPN. So I enjoyed it. I'm actually looking forward to Tuesday's game between the Bucks and the Thunder. I think that could be a really good one.
I got a question for both of y'all.
Go ahead.
Because I've been hearing this conversation this past week about movement of one particular player. And I wonder, listen, when it comes to the finals, there are a few people above this guy who you would want on your team. And I'm talking about Jimmy Butler. He a fit here in Atlanta?
I think Jimmy Butler would certainly be a fit here. He would be a veteran. But I don't know if I'd want to give up some of the younger guys to get him here. I think when you look at Jimmy Butler's game, it is very similar to a DeAndre Hunter's game, being a guy who you know of his defensive prowess, but also get it done on the offensive side of the game. Now, Jimmy may be a bit more of a facilitator than DeAndre, even though I do think DeAndre has that, you know, in his bag of tricks to where he could be a facilitator if the Hawks really needed him to. But I think he could fit to answer your question, but I don't think that's a role that the Hawks need to go down.
We'll watch for that and see if that happens as far as the team goes. What do you think now when they you know, come back? This team, they got a little time off right now since they're not going to be playing in the final Tuesday. And then they have to go out to San Antonio when they come back to work. What should we expect from this team?
Yeah, I think the Hawks are actually going to get back on the winning side of things when they go to San Antonio. Now, it'll be interesting in their next few games. We're still currently open 500 at 14-13, but as you mentioned, we'll see Wembley and the Spurs on the road, and then a home game against John Morant, and the Grizzlies' home game against the hometown kid, Anthony Edwards, and the Timberwolves. So I think it'll be very fascinating to see. Trae Young, as we know, always gets up for, you know, those big matchups against individuals who also shine in the league. So seeing Trae go against Chris Paul, and seeing some of our bigs go up against Wimley, I think will be dope. And then when we have Ja and Anthony Edwards respectively in town for the two home the home stretch for the Hawks, I think that'll be fascinating. But I think the Hawks will have an opportunity to get back on a winning streak. I don't know if it'll be 7-1 or something like that. But I do see them going over 500 after this road trip and in their upcoming homestand.
Am I going to get a little credit for the two teams I was talking about before the season started? In fact, some of last year when you talk about Ja. I mean, you've been hearing me. Y'all got sick of me talking about him, right? I was talking about nothing but Ja Morant. And you look at who's leading the top of the West out there. I was talking about OKC, talking about Memphis. I don't know if it's going to be sustained throughout the rest of this year, but I'm telling you, those are the two teams that make me buy a ticket.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Of course you get credit for being a visionary out here. We'll certainly give you some credit for that.
I don't know if I can get on that for sure. Seriously, though, what people have kind of alluded to it. They've danced around it. But I've not heard a deep dive and given your thoughts on who's leading this division, man. Talk about this Orlando team and how scary they can be under the radar.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you do remember, they've been a team over the last few seasons that I've said if they can get it done, if they can pull it together, they have a lot of young talent. They've had a lot of lottery picks over the last few years. So I'm honestly not surprised at all what they're doing down there in Orlando. Now, they've had an unfortunate incident because Wagner, one of their star players, he'll be out for a while. He has a hip injury, and we haven't seen a lot of Paolo as of recently. So Jalen Suggs has stepped up, and then Wendell Carter, in our backyard here in Georgia, he's back in the lineup as well. He stepped up. I've been impressed with the Magic over the past few seasons, and I think they are finally beginning to get it together. Championship run, I'm not sure yet. I think they may be a piece or two away, or maybe just a little more experience because they do have a very young team. But yeah, they've been for me how the Thunder have been for you over the past few seasons. But like, okay, let's keep our eye on these Magic. They're growing. I like who they're drafting. I like how they're building through the draft. And they're very similar when we think about drafting to the Thunder just over here in the East. So I'm very impressed with what they got going on. And we will see if they can sustain it. But I think they will be able to as they continue to get key players back.
Yep. We'll watch and see what happens with them. They are on the top right now in Southeast with Miami right behind them and the Hawks right there. I just like the way, our team is trending. But let's see. We'll have to try to reel in this Orlando team who's gotten off to a really good, solid start this season.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
How's the holidays going, man, with the kids?
Everything is – the holidays have been well. I've had some unexpected surprises as far as being able to get out, see different light shows and stuff like that. So that's been dope. The kids have been on me about making sure we get some Christmas gifts for their grandparents, my mom being here and such.
Mm-hmm.
So – We're ramping up. They'll get out of school next week, and I know things will really kick off. And basketball season is kicking off for Melo again, so this is one of his favorite things. In the
See, you know what? I foresee, Sam. I foresee in the next year or so, or this upcoming year, we're gonna hear a little bit more from Melo. Cause his sister's been getting all the shine.
Yeah, now.
This last couple of years, and I think especially the little brother. He's like, he's had enough of that. he's had enough of that. He's on the court. His sister's got holding the microphone.
Right.
Right? So right, he's like, right. Y'all need to focus on me. But listen, man, we will be talking you up through Christmas. And you might be joining us during that time because we got to let everybody know we will be with you the 26th and 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will be with you the week leading up to New Year's. So we're going to need some guests. We might have you and the kids come down to the show.
Yeah, come and hang out with us.
All right,
we'll come on down and bring some hot chocolate. Just let me know.
Yeah, just don't bring no cold pumpkin pie for Sam.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
No.
Enjoy the games today, Terrell, as always, and thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Terrell Thomas.
Much love, gentlemen. Have a great one.
There you go. Now we switch from basketball to football. Our own Joe Patrick joins us next. It's Sam and Greg on this 15th day of December, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 10 Lizzie on the dark side. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game. On this Sunday morning, 15th day of December. All right. Normally, he's fussing with the elevator. Normally, he's dealing with the cold because the Falcons are playing tomorrow night. Joe Patrick's having a very casual, very comfortable conversation with us this morning.
That's nice.
It's been a minute since that happened. Yeah. Morning, Joe. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Stress-free Sunday, guys. How about that? I haven't had one of those in a while.
I wanted to say, and I'm going to do it on the backs of Joe, because Joe's other hat he used to wear, other than Atlanta United, when we first started talking to Joe, it was all about baseball.
Yeah.
And
my story of the week, which we're going to I'll let you do yours later, but has to do with that. And it was the induction of Dave Parker and the dude who's the only Hall of Famer, I think, that had two names going in. First it was Richie, and then Dick Allen.
Dick Allen.
Who was the coolest looking first baseman ever. And I think he was the first baseman went out the field with a helmet on.
May have been.
So anyway, those two going in, obviously the Veterans Committee brought him in there, but you know, Dick Allen played for the White Sox coming up, and so that's my little connection to him. But one of the greatest arms baseball has ever seen.
One of the best athletes. Dave Parker's one of the best.
He
would have been a beast in whatever. If he'd gone football, really if he'd gone basketball,
I can see that,
if he went baseball, this guy's one of the most incredible athletes I've ever seen on baseball.
Well, I've seen his arm a few times. Just a cannon right field. So anyway, Joe, I don't know if you had an opinion about those two, but I knew you'd appreciate that, talking a little baseball during your segment.
A little before my time to be able to watch them, but I certainly know the names, legendary names there in the game.
Yeah, Parker played with Pops.
Absolutely.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, Pirates.
Team.
Anyway, listen, man, how are we going to fix this quarterback position? We got an extra day to work on it. What's going on with this Falcons team as they get ready to take on the Raiders?
Man, it's, it feels kind of like a, season-defining game here for sure. And it's one that the Falcons really should be winning against the 2-11 Raiders team that's going to be down to their third-string quarterback, and I'm sure a quarterback we'll talk a little bit about here, but also without Max Crosby, their best player defensively, and that's a huge help for Kirk Cousins, a quarterback who, you know, at this stage of his career and with the injury, obviously, he's recovering from, cannot really skate from a lot of pressure these days, and certainly will help to not have Max Crosby go against you. So that's one way that you help the quarterback, that you help fix this quarterback situation, but ultimately, you know, it's just going to come down to Kirk Cousins, and can he get through a game without these costly turnovers? I mean, it's always been, you know, part of his game that I think that people overlook a little bit. It was that he does have a bit of a gunslinger mentality, and that's kind of, you know, driven by the systems that he's played in. And he's willing to take those risks, but you know, this year it's just been too erratic. You know, like the whole deal with Kirk Cousins is, you know, he's going to give you a certain, like, consistent level of playing, you know, decision, play after play. It's a B-plus, B-plus, B-plus. And this year, there's just too many F plays in there for Kirk Cousins. And he leads the league in interceptions. He has 25 turnover-worthy plays to this point. That's just way too many. That's basically what the Falcons were getting last year out of Desmond Ridder. So, you know, He knows he's got to, you know, be more consistent play to play, and especially when they get in the red zone. That's been a huge issue for this team. And so if they can score touchdowns and they get in the red zone, they should be fine because this team still moves the ball. Kirk Cousins is third in the NFL in passing yards, which is kind of crazy considering all the consternation over him. But it just goes to show that, you know, if they can fix some of these things and just become more efficient and score more touchdowns, then, you know, I think that they'll be fine, basically. But, you know, that's very much a I'll believe it when I see it type of deal, considering the fact that Kirk Cousins has thrown 8 interceptions since he threw his last touchdown pass.
Yeah, and I tell you what, without the number matching, this guy is the professional version of Carson Beck, as far as I'm concerned. They both make you want to walk into traffic. And I saw this coming when he was at Minnesota watching all his Bears games with him. But having said that, you said it. It's a defining game. And I don't know if you want to go out on a limb, but a lot of us already have. We're at the tip of this diving board. Is it Michael Penix time if he has another game where this position suffers? You got the Giants. Everybody can get well on the Giants right now. You got Washington after that, and then Carolina, last three games. Will this be the time to check out that first-round draft pick?
If he has another bad game and this team loses, then I think yes. I think the chances of that happening are actually kind of low. I feel like I'm going out on a limb saying that at this point, even though it's a 2-11 Raiders team that's going to be without their best pass rusher. But, you know, it's hard to imagine that the team would still have confidence in him if that's a team that he cannot get it done against, you know? So, like, if he can't get it done against that Raiders team, then who can he get it done against? That would be the reason why then you make the change. But, you know, the reason I'm kind of, like, twisting over this is I do think that the Falcons probably have an agreement with Kirk to be like, hey, we're going to give you every chance to get us to the playoffs And until we're mathematically eliminated, then, you know, it's going to be, you know, you're going to be our quarterback. And a loss on Monday wouldn't mathematically eliminate them, but I do think that would take it to a point of kind of, you know, basically a loss of faith, like losing your mandate, basically, as the quarterback of the team. So, I have to think that would do it. And that's why this game makes this game so intriguing, guys. Like, there's so much on the line. I've been thinking back a lot this week to a line that Arthur Smith would always say, which is that the NFL is just the best reality show going. And it certainly feels that way with all the storylines when it comes to, you know, Kirk Cousins and his future as the quarterback of this team, and then facing their quarterback from last year that was not good enough. They decided it was not good enough, and they need to move on from it, Desmond Ridder. So I'm sure he'll have revenge on the mind, and, man, that would be sweet. And it makes it so that, you know, whether the Falcons win or lose, it's going to be fascinating and very entertaining no matter what happens.
Spend the time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Joe Patrick. And he is social. You always find him at JAPatrick200 at JAPatrick200. Joe, two things I want to make sure and get your thoughts on. One of the problems has been penalties at the wrong time. Yeah. They've been very costly for this team. My goodness, can our secondary have a better game than they had last week? We had people falling down. Those two things, Kirk Cousins is a major concern. We have some other stuff, too, that's going to take for this team, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's something that I think has been, you know, because of the way that the overall trajectory of what's happening to Kirk Cousins, especially these last 4 or 5 weeks, is going, then it makes every kind of loss seem like it's totally on him. And I think that there were, you know, and he threw two interceptions in that game last week, but I think the two most impactful plays, in that game for either team were, one, the fumble by Ray McLeod on the kickoff return that essentially gave the Vikings another touchdown after the Falcons defense had just been on the field for a long drive and conceded the touchdown, and then to have to turn right around and be in your defensive red zone again, basically a no-win situation there. And then on the penalty situation, Sam, is, you know, they had that holding on Kentavious Street on the field goal attempt that then turned into a touchdown. And I was actually heartened to hear Raheem Morris describe that particular penalty as essentially a turnover in and of itself, because obviously the Falcons would have been getting the ball back after that play, after the Vikings had, you know, converted that field goal. But instead, the Vikings get the ball back, they go down and score a touchdown, and that's just, you know, those are two just kind of backbreaking, you know, positions to put your defense in and to give up those scores that really, really changed the game. So there is certainly a lot to fix for this Falcons team, whether that is securing the ball and not coughing it up, not turning it over, winning that turnover battle, or these penalties that have been so costly. And it's certainly affected them on the offensive side of the ball, too. I asked, you know, offensive coordinator Zach Robinson this week about what they need to do to be more effective in the red zone. And it seems to be that, you know, the coaches think that it's just, if they don't commit penalties in the red zone, then they're going to score touchdowns. But that has not been happening. It seems like every time they've been getting in the red zone, you know, these last 4 or 5 games, there's just been these penalties, these breakdowns that push them into situations that they cannot convert into touchdowns. And that's why they have not been an efficient offense, despite the fact that they are picking up all these yards and they are so efficient between the 20s. So, again, you know, the NFL comes down to these little things. It's, can you score in the red zone? Can you win the turnover battle? If you can do those things, then you're probably going to be a successful team. The Falcons have not done that well enough these last 5 weeks, and that's why they've been on the slide that they're on.
Is that a byproduct of the bad quarterback play?
I think that if
that pile up, you know, trying to overdo it and play a little harder and, you know, all of that. One begets another,
I think,
right?
I think it plays into it. I think Kirk Cousins, you know, physical limitations are, you know, not helping this team, especially in the red zone where, you know, other teams have quarterbacks who maybe scramble out of the situation and just pick up some dirty yards, but you can get, you know, you can get accomplished what you need to. And it feels to me, guys, and I don't know if you agree with this, but like, it feels like it's just more difficult for the Falcons when they get in those situations. Teams bring pressure, and you see a lot of balls start getting batted down and stuff, and there's just not an ability for Kirk to really kind of move around to create windows for himself to throw at times. So it just feels like it's one of those things where the Falcons need everything to go right for them in those situations in order for them to be successful. It feels like they have to be so precise where other teams kind of don't have to be. And I think that kind of starts with Kirk's physical limitations, but you know, it's, there are other reasons why that is the case too. And so you just hope to see them play a little bit smoother, maybe, you know, for things to just happen a little bit easier for them, especially in some of those situations where they feel more kind of refined and cohesive in their red zone offense and have some good ideas as well. I think that, you know, Zach Robinson plays into this a little bit himself in terms of getting this team schemed up in a way where, again, where it doesn't feel like you have to be so precise with everything you do, just scheming more receivers open on some easier throws and that kind of thing could really, really help Kirk Cousins out.
It could. The other thing that could hurt, that could help Kirk Cousins out would be to make some completions to Kyle Pitts. Can we see some Kyle Pitts tomorrow night, please?
Well, you know, it's so tough for Kyle because – right, exactly, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, you know, he's got to take advantage of the opportunities that he has. And then, you know, because it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of trust in that relationship between those guys. And I do think that, you know, part of it is Zach Robinson, though, in terms of the way that they feel like they can best use Kyle Pitts is to stretch defenses and not be that kind of underneath guy who gets those easier catches. And I'm with you, Zan. Like, I want to see more him and more of those types of opportunities where he kind of catches the ball and has some space to try to make a defender miss, because he has such physical gifts that if he's matched up against a defensive back, especially, he can, you know, stiff arm that guy or just, you know, muscle past that guy. And then he's got so much speed, he can, you know, take it to the end zone. And we saw that against teams like the Bucks. But I feel like what he's been used as is a guy who's going to stretch the field. And therefore, he's kind of the pre-snap read. It's called an alert, and where he's kind of like the pre-snap, like, ooh, like if I see the coverage is going to allow him to be open, I'm going to go to him. But more often than not, that's really only happens during you know, very specific situations. And most of the time, he's just kind of dragging defenders out of certain areas that will open up other throwing windows. And so that just makes for a low volume receiver, one who's going to have a certain amount of explosive plays because he is going deep. But it, you know, these, again, the team has not been creating as many of those explosive plays at all these last 4 weeks as they were in, you know, the first half of the season, where he was having those big games against teams like the Bucks, the Panthers. He had, you know, some big catches, even the Chiefs. He had some big ones. So I would like to see him get involved one way or another, but yeah. And the other thing is he's got to catch those balls when they come his way. He could have had a pretty big game statistically last week had he caught a couple passes that could have gone for really, really big yardage.
How's your Christmas holiday going so far, Joe? You know, you shopping done?
I'm still kind of in the workflow. I shouldn't say I'm not feeling the Christmas spirit, but I'm just like, I haven't really kind of slowed down at all. So hopefully that happens here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, it's like one of my favorite times of year. I really do love the Christmas season, so I really enjoy it. How about you guys?
No, we're doing good there. You got to get out there and you know.
I know. Sort
of harness your frustration. You know, you're going to be out. See, the longer you wait, the higher the chances you getting frustrated out there because you're trying to get things really quick and people aren't driving fast enough. Or stuff's
yeah,
not on the
exactly.
shelves. And so you're going to have to, as Mr. Crenshaw says, pack your patience.
That's right. That's right. I got to stop and smell the holly.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Well put.
I like that.
There you go. We'll end on that note. All right, buddy. Listen, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Or soon.
All right, sounds good, guys.
There you go, Joe Patrick joining us. Before we turn things over to Mr. Freaky, going to get you set for a full day of football action. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this 15th day of December. I say thank you for letting us be a part of their Sunday mornings already. I'm sure I did.
You did.
I ain't going to do it again. And I believe this is the first woman that we have played musically this morning, and it's a shame. We should have paid more.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But you're going to start with somebody. You can do wrong with Dolly. We got a couple things that we have not talked about throughout the show. We started the show with full intentions of getting to it, but for whatever the reason, got caught up in different things.
I'm glad you got in Dave Parker, because that was the one thing that I was wanted to mention. But I'm glad you got that
if in. If you're just tuning in, I had my story of the week. And it could have been a number of things, but to me, some of my early baseball remembrances was of Pops and We Are Family, Pittsburgh Pirates, and that right fielder who had the best arm I had seen probably to this day. Or at least he had a play where he showed it off, and that's Dave Parker.
Probably the best arm from right field before the guy that preceded him.
He was center fielder, I thought.
Was that?
Clemente, you talking about?
Clemente played, right.
Well, I always picture Roberto as center, but you're probably right there, too. He was a little bit before him, so yeah. But again, what I saw Clemente was more of his speed. You knew the arm was there. That's all they talked about.
Yeah, the arm too.
Seeing him, well, that's what I'm saying. But I saw him go first to third.
Yeah.
Or hitting triples. And he ran. I'll tell you, he had no professionalism.
Form. Yeah, because the legs and the arms were
everywhere, man. It was like a windshield wiper. And I tell you, the other person who reminded me of that, who was also considered one of the fastest people in the league when he ran, but didn't have perfect, Darryl Green.
Okay.
Defensive back for the Redskins. Yeah. Would always say he's one of the fastest guys in the league, but had no form. But anyway, him and Dave Parker and Richie/Dick Allen were voted into the Hall of Fame, the Veterans Committee. So I want to make sure I get those in there. You remember what your story of the week was before we get into the other thing?
I was going to say that, but I guess another thing was, you know, that and what happened at Marshall. You know, and we talked about this earlier, folks. We talked about college football, and obviously with the playoff games starting on this coming Friday, Army-Navy was big yesterday, but also what happened this week in North Carolina with Bill Belichick coming into the college game.
Right.
And but we talked about, do we set a precedent? Does what happened at Marshall set a precedent? Are we going to see that happen again when a group of players are not happy about the dismissal of a coach or a coach leaving? They had 36 players get into the transfer portal, and they had to bail on a bowl game they were supposed to play. And this is after winning the Sun Belt Conference championship game. You won your conference championship. So what went down with the coach up there and the people at Marshall, I have no idea. He was happy to get his job at Southern Miss, Marshall. You know what I mean? Where do you think you can recruit guys and win board at Marshall or Southern Miss? So, I mean, but that's where he is. And those players are in the transfer portal, and they're not going to play the bowl game. They call in Louisiana Tech. Hey, you guys want to come over? You're right down the street.
We'll pay for gas.
They're 5-7. We're going to send a couple of gas cards.
This little insignificant nugget will lead us perfectly into the other thing we wanted to talk about. But on this day, Arthur Ashe was named Person of the Year by Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
This was 92.
Okay.
All right. So
92, well, a lot was happening with him. That's when his health situation had been revealed, and the fact that he still was being active, being an activist for some causes, even in the face of that.
Well, because of what happened to him, too, he also brought a lightness to how these folks should gather and – I don't know the right way to put it, but to hold
process,
the blood.
Process blood, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So there you go. But that, you know, that award where they put his face on the front of a magazine got people talking then and this past week when Time Magazine did it.
Yeah. How about that?
I want to get into that and thoughts on that. But there was a whole lot of hubbub about Caitlin Clark getting the, was it Sports Person of the Year?
I guess the correct title for it, Athlete of the Year. You know, I don't have a problem with it.
I do not either. And you can have a problem with it, but you can understand it too.
Yeah.
And so,
and well, some people will say, if you're going to be Athlete of the Year, shouldn't you at least win something? Because I remind people of all the things we get, and I think she's deserving of everything she gets and all the attention that she's caused. She's made people take a look at the women's game and women's athletics, period, and that's fantastic. She ain't won nothing.
But that, again, you're assuming that winning is tagged to that.
But a lot of other things we talk about. Well, Arthur Ashe was the impact. He was retired from
playing. Well, you could say exactly the same reason obviously different arenas, but her impact this past year is beyond reproach.
Oh, no.
So that's why.
I didn't say that. But a lot of people say, you know, why did she get the attention? Why didn't it get the attention to the players in the past? And she, being ahead of the curve, acknowledged those people. She acknowledged those people from the past. You can't say, if other people are saying it, they're saying it. Caitlin ain't saying it. No. She just want to go out and play ball, you know. And I think the whole thing about her was that there's some people who didn't see themselves in the WNBA saw themselves. And I very much equated the folk of our persuasion in 97 when this guy named Woods kicked the door down at Augusta.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, people who didn't give a you-know-what about golf became nuts about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he really didn't upset the golfers. I don't recall any golfers saying anything bad about him.
Oh well, let's bring up Fuzzy Zeller.
Well, that was it though. But you know the situation with Fuzzy.
But that was behind the
Fuzzy Zeller thing was out of frustration. But he didn't know that CNN was going to sit on that tape for a week before they played it. You know, I kind of got the backstory on it because
okay,
I was
yeah. Well, you got something I don't know
because I was living and working in Greensboro at the time, and Fuzzy was like the host for the mm-hmm. Kmart Greater Greensboro Open. He had already ticked off the golf professionals because he was telling people, if you know you got a $200 game, don't go spend $800 for clubs someplace. Go to Kmart and get you a set of clubs for $250 until you learn how to play, right? And so the people say, no, you're supposed to tell people to come and get your golf clubs from a certified pro at a PGA pro shop and come and get, you know, and that's what Fuzzy was. So Fuzzy was already getting arrows from the PGA pros because he's telling people to go buy golf clubs off the rack mm-hmm. in Kmart. Well, Kmart sponsored the tournament in Greensboro, and he's there as the host of this tournament. And that videotape comes out with him talking about Tiger Woods and chicken, and the NAACP in Greensboro told the folks at the GGO, we're going to walk outside your tournament every day. Fuzzy Zeller left town. That's how emphatic people got that looked like me and you mm-hmm. when Tiger and Woods were in 97. People who did not care about golf, people who did not play golf, people who did not watch golf, to the point they drove this man out of making his money. And we talking about Caitlin Clark and the people that she's brought to the I equate the two things totally. It's people who hadn't seen someone that they could identify with achieving in an arena.
Well said.
Simple, plain and simple. And, well, people can politicize it and say different agendas, but it's just people seeing somebody that they identify with achieving something in an arena. And they embrace it.
And the key to that is you're saying seeing it. Because
right.
The visibility that has launched, that has landed on this sport,
right.
And her presence because of it is
just
part
like
of,
just like
is,
just like 97
is part of it. Even with TV coverage in 97 still isn't what it is now. We talked about online and all of that other stuff after that, right? Yeah, it did.
But then people had to go out and buy that red polo and that black cap. You know, people had to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I equate the two totally in that regard. So I mean, the impact that she has is incredible. How do they build on this? I think a great opportunity was missed the last time she came through town, and they had opportunity. They were going to have a reunion of the 96 women's Olympic team, mm-hmm. which a lot of those women were the foundation. They were the foundation.
Yeah, that was right after that.
Only two players showed up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how long they tried to set that up or who they invited or why they where they were that they couldn't show up. But to me, that was a chance for those people to be in the room in front of that sold out building. And people get a chance to see them, acknowledge them, and only two show. I don't know why.
Conversations of folks feeling certain kinds of ways and being
right.
hurt. And, of course, misery loves company. So you get all them voices going back and forth. So that's all part of it. We're finding this stuff out now. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's to me what's happening is a very simple thing. We got Noel.
Noel.
Come on in here.
Yeah, you should have jumped in here. Sam went down the rabbit hole. But
I didn't go down the rabbit hole.
No, we're glad you did.
Yeah.
You know.
I very much equated to 97.
But we also know that you talk WNBA, you talk women's college basketball. So curious of your thoughts when you saw that this past week. Because there was so much conversation. Normally, we shouldn't even have this conversation. But because there was so much of it, we thought of you.
Yeah, I sent out a congratulations tweet because on the surface, without all the other stuff, you know, she came in and continued the same trail that she was in college and really found her way in the season. I acknowledged that, yes, we can have the conversation of usually someone has won or done something on a larger impact. But I think the most important thing right now for the league is that growth of visibility. And so that's what all of this is about, right? The growth of the visibility of the WNBA, the care about the WNBA right now. But it was nice that she took this moment and this large platform to finally say once and for all her piece about everything swirling around her name. Because it's just been a bunch of conversation, positive and negative, that she hasn't had any control over the narrative. And rightfully so, she focused on, you know, her first year of professional basketball. No problem with that. But once that was able to be put to the side and she was able to have a sit-down interview with someone, She was able to give her piece one side or the other. And now, just like when she was becoming Caitlin Clark, you know, the world is just doing what they do. You know, it's just shaking out what the majority of, you know, her fan base, or the loudest, rather, of her fan base, you know, wanted her to represent and what they feel like she no longer represents. But as far as Caitlin Clark, ain't nothing changed. Caitlin gonna lace up her Kobe's. She gonna ball. And you probably still won't hear that much for it in the media because it just doesn't seem like her thing. It doesn't seem like she's really that interested in a lot of, you know, sit-down one-on-ones and answering a lot of questions and in-depth thing. It seems like she's really comfortable in doing the interviews, but it doesn't seem like her forte. It's like she wants to go out there, ball, do a presser, and go on to the next thing. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of these sit-downs, but she took the opportunity to actually say something meaningful and then moved on. So, you know, shout out and congratulations to her. Maybe now we can get back to the basketball.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
There you go.
That?
She's in that unique group of people who spend their time very, very visible, but more people talk about her than she does.
Yeah.
You know, and she just sits back and lets it, you know, fly, and then, you know, like a tennis player just bats it back. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Got John Fricke coming up top of the hour. I want to remind you, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got Cowboys and Carolina coming up at 1 o'clock. The kick is at 1, but the pregame is at 12:30, followed by Tampa Bay at the L.A. Chargers, and then tonight's game, the Packers at Seattle. Pregame 7:30, kick at 8:15, and tomorrow night there are two Monday night football games, but the only one that matters around here are the Falcons at Vegas. We got that pregame at 6:30, kick at 8:30 tomorrow night. And by the way, in case you're wondering, we got Hawks on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Got the Frisco Bowl on Tuesday. We got Hawks.
On Thursday.
I'm looking at Tuesday here. Hawks, Golden State here, and Oklahoma. Well, I'm sorry. This is the OKC, and if necessary.
If necessary. So they're going to stay. They pick it up. They pick it up Thursday.
I'm just
at San Antonio.
Wishful thinking. Maybe we can make a call. yeah, they got San Antonio. We'll have that for you here. Also got Thursday night football for you here, too. Them dudes are out there in Vegas, man.
Yeah, man.
Andy and Randy.
Yeah.
How we get on that?
I don't know. We don't get that. We get to be here first thing in the morning here in a few days.
We got that. I mean, those guys are out in Vegas. Abe's at $3 Cafe for the Falcons watch party tomorrow. Man.
Yeah.
We got to make a call. We got to make a call. Anyway, before we get on out of here, anything else you want to get off your chest?
Just want people to be safe. They're moving around today. Like I said, if you got to get out. We got some moisture, hit and miss rain around the area. So some of the roads are kind of slick and damp. If you're going out, do some early shopping. If you're heading out to Sunday services, be safe.
You know how we talk about before we get on out here? And again, the casting call and the job opportunities are Get Cast with Greg on Twitter, and 929thegame.com/castingcall. You know, I heard in an interview, most of you may have already heard this, and I just get the parties late, but Eddie Murphy was talking about movies, and it got us thinking about those characters in very famous movies where the other famous actors had applied for or heard audition for them. Like, could you see Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones? He was supposed to be.
Right.
Eddie Murphy turned down a movie, and it was the one movie he said he feels really bad about because he didn't think that cartoons would ever make it or things like that. He turned down Roger Rabbit.
And I could see him in that.
It was the Bob Hoskins character.
Okay.
Because he didn't think any of that would ever, but then he turned around and did Shrek. All right.
Well, he wasn't going to miss the next one.
No, he wasn't going to miss that. Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a big day.
You do as well.
Thank you, Noel, for everything. And for everyone out there, thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of your Sunday mornings. Mr. Fricke is up next. Getting you ready for a full day of football action. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey.